I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What's up, everybody? Happy Saturday. Thank you for tuning in to The Fan. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Jason Bishop. What's up, Jay?
What's going on? Happy Saturday to you.
Another Saturday morning powerhouse 3-hour show.
Yep.
We're actually chock full of guests because that's what we do.
Shocker.
Coming up at 9:20, Andrew Brandt's going to join us. He's been an NFL executive, super agent. We'll get his perspective on what's going on with the NFL. I know he tweeted recently how they're trying to shut down everything around the edges with the hopes that everything's okay come the season.
Right. Right.
But you just don't know. And what he means by shutting things down around the edges, the voluntary camps, the early training camps, the mini camps, as well as early preseason games. I think the Hall of Fame game is going away. So we'll get Andrew Brandt's perspective because he's worked in the front office. He's worked as an agent on the player side. So should be interesting. He'll join us at 9:20. We'll talk Major League Baseball. FP Santangelo, one of our favorites. Color commentator on Masson's going to join us.
We'll get That's a good take. Booking there. Nicely done for on your end.
He's been great to the show. We'll get his take on what a shortened season might mean for the team. We talked about this on the Junkies this week. There was one analyst for ESPN who thought that the Nationals weren't positioned well for a shortened season. He pointed to lack of bullpen depth. I think that's kind of an old narrative. I feel like their bullpen's pretty damn good, but we'll talk to FP about it.
Right. And also the Ryan Zimmerman story is big.
Yep. Zimmerman doesn't know if he's going to come back.
Yep.
So we will talk
get his take on that.
Santangelo, yep. 10 a.m. Joe B's going to join us at 10:40 because the hockey season's also a month away.
Correct. I think they're targeting July 10th for camps. So we'll see if there's any delay there. But that's the target date. And then I haven't seen any schedules released yet for the NHL. I don't even know if they've officially decided on the cities to resume play. I know Vegas and Toronto are the leaders in the clubhouse, but we'll ask him his thoughts and his takes on those.
And then Travis Thomas from NBC Sports Washington will join us at 11:20. We will talk Wizards with him. He hosts Wizards Overtime and the pregame show for the Washington Wizards. Wizards theoretically have a chance to get into the playoffs once this thing gets underway, but Davis Bertans is going to play. That's kind of a big deal. And look, they basically have to run the table and hope for other teams to lose to get in.
Yep.
But they're going to be playing.
Yeah, their first game will be July 31st, Friday, July 31st, and they'll play Phoenix. That's a 4 o'clock game down there in Orlando. There's actually, it's interesting, there's two games on the 30th, so opening night will be July 30th on TNT. You'll have Utah and New Orleans at 6:30, then you'll have the Clippers and the Lakers at 9. So and that Clippers-Lakers game is obviously going to be big. So those are the openers on Thursday, July 30th, and there's essentially a full schedule on July 31st, including the Wizards.
If everything goes off without a snag, and that's almost impossible to see.
Right.
But August, which is usually, I think, a terrible month on the sports calendar, August could be awesome because you're going to have baseball, you're going to have hockey and NBA, which is heading towards the playoffs, and really the baseball season from game one, it's almost going to be a sprint to the playoffs. So that's going to be great, and then you've got NFL and potentially college football in September, although I don't feel good about college football. I know we're going to go through some of these stories as we open up the sports page.
I'm a skeptic, too.
The college football stories, they're just not good, ever. Do you ever see a college football story which is encouraging?
Well, I mean, you're only going to hear the bad stories.
True.
You're not hearing from camps or schools that are having no positive tests. You're only going to hear the stories about the positive tests or the failed tests.
Actually, I did see one. University of Maryland, I believe, had no positive tests.
All right, good. So there you go. That's positive.
The problem is they play in a conference with other teams.
Yeah, I know. Look, I'm a skeptic. We talked about it earlier in the week. I think at best you're going to see a revised, diminished schedule in college football. You're going to see some schools, maybe even some conferences, that don't play at all. It's going to be really sad if that happens, but I can see that. I guess there's two ways to look at it with college football. One is that way, the negative. The second way to look at it, maybe in a more positive light, is it's good that these kids are getting their positive tests now and getting them out of the way before they actually start their official practices.
Well, as long as they can remain healthy, and generally
correct.
Younger people remain healthy.
They are. Yeah, they are.
But as we talked to Dr. Tom Mayer about earlier this week, and he might rejoin us later in the program.
Yeah,
he
might.
He's the medical director for the NFL Players Association. Mm-hmm. He pointed to how many guys are morbidly obese.
Correct.
And that is a problem.
That hurts.
If you get COVID and you're morbidly obese, all of a sudden you're in a real danger zone, even if you're young.
But with the Clemson failed tests, half of the kids didn't even have symptoms. They were asymptomatic.
Right.
The other half did have symptoms, but no hospitalization. So I'm going to assume that with the Clemson positive tests, none of them are really serious. But you're right. I mean, that's a good point. There could be one. It only takes one. Positive test that's really serious and he has to go to the hospital. So, like I said, I'm a skeptic right now.
And imagine if there's a fatality. Imagine if one of those guys, some offensive lineman who's 330 pounds, maybe has asthma, technically morbidly obese. I don't care how much muscle he has. When you weigh 330 pounds, odds are, this huge lineman is morbidly obese.
Mm-hmm.
And what if one of them passes away?
Well, I mean he could pass away. He could die of a heart attack, too. What I mean?
That is true.
There's a lot of risk playing the sport. He could die next year from COVID, unless we get some vaccine that cures everybody. So, I don't know. There's just a lot of questions. But I'm with you. I'm a skeptic right now. I'm a skeptic with the NFL, too.
Yeah, I'm a little bit skeptical with the NFL, but I just think there's so much money involved in the professional sports that the players, the owners, they're willing to take on some risk. I'm not so sure when it comes down to universities, especially, state-run universities. I'm not smart enough, I haven't studied enough the liability issues, but I got to imagine there are some, and I'm sure there are some lawyers saying, hey, probably shouldn't move forward with this.
Yeah. I'm wondering if the NCAA, in particular, can just require players to sign waivers before they play. Could that protect the schools?
I don't know.
I don't know how that works, but if you're worried about a big fat offensive lineman dying from COVID, well, if he signs a waiver saying he's willing to risk his own health to play and to keep a scholarship, maybe a waiver process is legitimate. I don't know.
Anyway, if we don't have to deal with any of those issues, my main point is August could be fantastic with the NBA, the NHL, Major League Baseball, and then just a month away from the NFL and college football. And typically August, we get excited for NFL training camp, and then we realize it's NFL training camp.
Yeah, I know. Well, like you said, we have all those other things plus golf going on. And August could be really, really fun if there's no hiccups.
All right, why don't we open up the
Junkie
Sports page?
And I do expect hiccups.
Why don't we open up the Junkie Sports page? You can start with the golf. I guess you're watching golf right now.
Yeah, well, there's an early start today in the third round because they're expecting some bad weather. So they started early. So Phil Mickelson, of course, is leading the tournament. He's 13 under. He's going to tee off in about 6 minutes up there in Connecticut. He shot 63 yesterday. Of course, he's 50 years old. He was unbelievable yesterday, just making everything. So he's going to play with Will Gordon and Mackenzie Hughes. So usually in a normal tournament, you have twosomes. Mm-hmm. But since they're going to have some bad weather up there, they're going to have threesomes today. So Mickelson, Gordon, and Mackenzie Hughes will all tee off in about 6 minutes at 9:15. And they're on the course. So all these players are already playing. It was just interesting to watch yesterday because I'm not sure how much you watched, if any. But specifically with Rory McIlroy was just he was annoyed by a lot of the movement around the course. And it wasn't because of the fans. Now, there were some fans, you know, in backyards of homes, and they were cheering on made putts and, and good shots, so on and so forth. But he was annoyed at, like, the carts that were driving around.
So the officials?
I don't know who's driving around. I don't know if they're tour officials or if they're maintenance crew. I have no idea. But he was very affected by it, and he was annoyed and visibly annoyed on a couple of different occasions. It was just funny because usually you don't see those guys, because in a normal tournament you got a lot of fans and they're blocking all these other, you know, distractions, right? But he was very annoyed, and, you know, he was saying things to people. He's, and his caddy had to yell at a couple different guys. I guess when you have no fans, you're going to notice other things like that.
Did he end up playing okay, or did his play slide?
He was fine. He shot 68, not as good as his first round where he shot 63. I mean, he's 9 under. I guess he just teed off, but I don't know. I just noticed that a couple different times. And the announcers actually talked about it as well. That
Well, I saw a couple stories related to the tournament. I didn't watch any. I'm not a golf fan that typically watches anything but the majors. I'll watch the majors, but the Travelers doesn't interest me. Although, with Phil Mickelson in the lead, if he's in the lead on Sunday, I might be inclined to kind of check it out to see if we can close it out, because I would root for the old guy. And Phil's charismatic. He's one of those guys that I actually care about.
Yeah. I mean, guys have won in the 50s before, when they're 50s. But, and Craig Stadler's the last guy to do it after turning 50. But it doesn't happen very often. You know, it probably happened 7 or 8 times.
What I saw was, and it was, this was on social media, and I clicked on it, and it was amazing. I saw one of Bryson DeChambeau's drives.
Right. I was actually watching that drive live. He hit it about 330 yards in the air, but it hit the cart path and scooted another 100 yards on the cart path.
Yes.
So it was 428-yard drive, but 100 of it was via the cart path.
But I saw a different one, which did not hit the cart path. It was a par 4, and he drove it to within, I would say, 30 or 40 yards of the green. It was incredible. The guy murders the ball.
Yeah, he really does. You know, he's gotten a lot stronger. His swing speed's crazy. His ball speed's crazy. Doesn't always know where it's going. Because yesterday he hit a ball way left out of bounds, ended up taking a bogey on the hole. But or maybe he doubled that hole. But yeah, he's the talk of the tour right now because of his size and the body change and how far he's hitting the ball. By the way, yesterday when he hit that ball 428 yards, he bogeyed the hole.
Wow. What did he do?
Well, he hit the ball, his second shot. He was kind of in the rough, and he had a kind of a uphill stance, and the ball was above his feet, and he skied the green. Not really skied, it hit it over the green, and then he three-putted. So
well,
that 428
that's
yards.
What happens to me all the time.
Right.
I mean, I could actually shoot a 6 there,
yeah,
but instead of the 5, but that usually doesn't happen to the pros.
Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, he drove the ball a mile, but he bogeyed the hole, so it didn't really help him.
The other story I saw about the Travelers was Denny McCarthy, who came on this show about 6 weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
He had to withdraw.
Yep. Yeah, I texted back and forth with Denny and his brother, Ryan, who I'm pretty close with, yesterday. You know, he you know, the charter that the PGA Tour provides for the players and caddies, you have to test negative before you actually get on the plane. So Monday, when he was leaving to go from, I don't know where he was flying in from, I guess from South Carolina, because he played at Hilton Head. So he flew from South Carolina to Connecticut on the PGA Tour charter, and he tested negative. Well, then he started feeling, you know, a little fatigued in his first round, where he shot 67. And then he said he woke up in the middle of the night. He wasn't feeling great. And he said, I probably should get this checked out. So he tested positive, right? And obviously had to withdraw. But it's funny because I don't know if he doesn't know where he got it. He could have got it in Hilton Head and just didn't show up until Tuesday or Wednesday. Or maybe he got it Tuesday or Wednesday in Connecticut. Who knows, right? And Bud Cauley, who he played with in the first round, also withdrew, but he tested negative. He tested twice, both negative, but he just wanted to take precautions, so he withdrew as well. Matthew Wallace, who's a Brit, who also played with him, played by himself yesterday because his two partners obviously withdrew. So, yeah, he's fine. He said he's got some body aches, but here's the deal. So he's got to stay quarantined in Hartford in his hotel room for 10 days.
boring.
So think about that. He tests negative. He can't get on a flight. He can't travel. He's got to stay in Hartford in a hotel room for 10 days. But the one positive is the PGA Tour provides a stipend for guys who test positive. $100,000 he gets.
Wow. So I was going to ask you about that because, you know, in the other sports, let's say you're in the NBA and you're playing in the playoffs this year and you test positive, you then have to sit out until all of a sudden it's out of your system. So maybe 2 weeks, 4 weeks, whatever it is. Right. You're under a contract. You're getting paid. And I was going to ask you about golf. You know, these guys got to play to earn their money. So that's good that the PGA is doing that, and it's very smart of the PGA to do that because if not, there probably would be a lot of guys who would even hesitate to participate in these tournaments. And right now, they're still able to get their TV ratings and TV money.
Correct. I mean, think about it. That's like finishing, you know, and you're right. It's good that the tour does that. It's for future earnings. And, you know, if you can't play tournaments, you can't win money, right? And that's how they pay their bills. Especially guys like Denny McCarthy don't have huge endorsement deals. But $100,000 is like finishing, you know, 10th in a tournament. So that's a huge check for a 25-year-old kid who isn't going to play for a couple weeks. It's huge. Now, $100,000 doesn't affect Phil Mickelson if he tested positive. But no. for Denny McCarthy, it certainly does. So you're right. It's a very good thing that the tour is doing. But he'll be fine. You know, like I said, he'll be out for a couple weeks, and hopefully start feeling better in a couple days. But, yeah, that was a big story. Anytime guys test positive in any sport, it's a big story.
Yeah, and then this week in particular, as kind of the country has a bunch of spots spiking with more cases, whether it's Florida, Texas, California, you saw that in golf with Brooks Koepka withdrawing. Now, he didn't necessarily have COVID, but I think his caddy did.
Mm-hmm.
And there were a couple other players, not as big names, but if you're seeing more and more of it, you start worrying about it. But I think the PGA is handling it correctly, and I think you talked about this earlier this week. The ratings from last weekend's tournament were great. So golf fans are happy that they have a product to watch.
Absolutely. And they're still going to be sky high, you know, this week and next week until these team sports come back and these leagues come back. But if it's the only thing to watch, that in NASCAR, you know, obviously the ratings are going to be high, even if you're not a huge golf fan.
Yep. All right. We'll get to the Ryan Zimmerman story a little bit later because Zimmerman, the Nationals first baseman, as they've announced that Major League Baseball is coming back in a month, he said he's not sure if he wants to be part of it. And you've seen that in some of the other sports, too, in the NBA. Avery Bradley, for example, who plays with the Lakers, has decided he's not coming back. Trevor Ariza has decided he doesn't want to mess with COVID. Some of that has to do with, you know, they might have family members that are vulnerable and they just don't want to risk it.
Right.
But Ryan Zimmerman seems to be in that camp where he's considering, he hasn't decided, but he's considering sitting out this season based on safety and taking precautions. So we'll get into that a little bit later. But coming up next, we will get the NFL perspective. Andrew Brandt was an agent for years, also NFL executive. He will join us next. It's JP and Bish from the Junkies hanging out this Saturday morning on The Fan.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. It's JP and Bish from the Junkies coming to you live this Saturday morning. We're packed with some great guests. FP Santangelo, voice of the Nationals, will join us at 10. We will talk about the return to Major League Baseball, where the Nationals stand. Joe B., the voice of the Capitals, will join us at 10:40, and Travis Thomas from NBC Sports Washington at 11:20. But joining us right now is Andrew Brandt. who Jason just told me during the break has a great educational resume, but also a great professional resume. He was an exec with the Packers, NFL agent. Good morning, Andrew. Thanks a lot for joining us.
Yeah, good morning. Most importantly, a Washington, D.C. native, and family's still there, so good to be with you.
Yeah, where do you make your home now?
I'm outside of Philly. Moved back here after the Packers, after moving my wife to rural Wisconsin for 10 years. She got to pick the next stop. She's from Villanova area where we live now.
There you go.
Got you. And I saw, you know what, might as well puff him up. It says on his Twitter bio, triathlete. What is the longest triathlon you've done?
Well, that's not terribly impressive.
Okay.
Because I do the short. I do sprints and Olympics. But one thing I've gotten into lately is sort of these mountain ultra runs, marathons through the mountains, and did one out in Zion National Park a couple weeks ago. So I got out from the pandemic and went into the mountains where you wouldn't even know it's around.
Wow, that's fantastic. Hey, I wanted to ask you, since I was kind of perusing your Twitter, one of the tweets which jumped out at me, which I think is true, is you were talking about Tom Brady and how in 3 months in Tampa, he's more controversial than in 20 years in New England.
Yeah, it just strikes me. You know, he's this mischievous Tom Brady who's breaking the rules, not really rules, about working out in groups. And he's been all over social media, and he's been obviously on the golf thing with Peyton Manning and Tiger Woods. And, you know, you just didn't see this Brady. And it's got to be the kind of shroud that we see in New England with the Belichick era. So it's true to me that in 3-4 months since signing with the Bucks, you know, we've seen more of Brady out there, whether socially or through any kind of media and his own media, than we saw in 20 years in the Patriots.
Yeah. So what do you think of that? What do you think of him working out with his new teammates and causing these controversies?
You know, it's interesting because I tweet about it, and I got some players who reach out to me and have reached out and asked about this, the virus stuff. And does that mean we can do it?
Right.
I'm like, yeah, because it's like anything. It's a recommendation, just like wear masks. You know, it's a recommendation, not a requirement. But the recommendation is coming not from the NFL. It's coming from their own side, which is the player's side. So I think the NFLPA doc is really frustrated by Brady because he's the most visible guy in the league, probably, and that's not a good message to send to the rest of the league right now.
Yeah, we actually had Dr. Tom Mayer on the Junkies on Thursday, and, you know, he's somebody who's advocated stopping the voluntary workouts, and I know you wrote about this recently, that it seems like the NFL, and we don't know what's going to happen in a couple of months. We don't know where the nation's going to be and where professional sports is going to be.
Right.
But it seems like what they're trying to do is kind of be safe around the edges. No mini camps. Maybe eliminate some preseason games. Try and limit the voluntary workouts. They're trying to get to that start of the season as best as they can.
Yeah, let me just say one more thing about Mayer, because I really respect him. And I sat in on a conference call with him, with only a few people. And, you know, the things that he said were really concerning to me about, we have this image of NFL players and all athletes, really, with this armor of being young, healthy, strong, and extremely fit. Mm-hmm. Well, he said some things that were concerning, that there are three at-risk groups that comprise a lot of NFL players. Number one, African-American. Number two, high BMI measurements. And number three, sleep apnea. Mm-hmm. And these people have been disproportionately affected by the virus. So he's got a real concern about this thing, which I think is great. You know, you don't want an NFLPA doc saying, hey, our guys are young, strong, and healthy. They'll recover fine.
Yeah.
And the other part of it I mentioned in my Sports Illustrated column is that, you know, you read a lot of NFL media, and one article just struck me where I just did double and triple takes with Von Miller. He was 3-4 weeks from, quote-unquote, recovering from the virus and having lung capacity issues and having windedness and having – he wasn't back. You know, he wasn't back. So you think about that and fast forward to September, October. Sure, the guy's out for 2 weeks and you bring him back, but he's not the same. Mm-hmm. He's probably not the same. So these are all things that you sort of scratch your head about as we talk about return to play.
Do you envision, Andrew, a delay in the start of the season because of, you know, the spike numbers in most of these states now?
That's a great question. I mean, what you just said is so true before, which is the NFL is really trying to do everything it can, as I call it, nibble around the edges of things that truly don't matter. You know, people can say training camp and preseason matters, but in the scheme of things, no. They're going to try to do everything they can to preserve weeks 1 through 17. At this point, it's been full steam ahead. We'll see. I mean, I don't have an answer where I think – here's what I think. I think as these other leagues start up in bubbles and out of bubbles like baseball, we're going to see.
Yeah.
We are going to see. And I'm not confident all of the above, MLB, NBA, NHL, MLS – finish. I'm confident they'll all start. I'm not confident they'll finish. And if we have one or more leagues that say in August or, yeah, August, say, you know, it's just too risky. We're out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see how the NFL starts in that environment. So that's my question.
Talking to Andrew Brandt, former NFL exec with the Green Bay Packers, worked on ESPN, columnist at the MMQB. A couple things that have been kind of swirling around, and I don't know if there's really an update. I just kind of want what you think might happen kind of from your experience as an executive, as an agent. What's going to happen with Cam Newton, do you see?
Yeah, it's so interesting. Now with all the social justice and Colin Kaepernick's name being front and center, we don't hear about Cam Newton.
Right.
I think that's hard because – you get to a point in your career where you're either a starter or you're not really that valuable. And I know that's harsh, mm-hmm. but, you know, I went through the mess with Brett Favre and we gave the team keys to Aaron. And the idea was bounced around, you know, have Brett as a backup. And I'm like, no, we're not doing that. And I think the same thing went on in Carolina. You know, they are like, we are going to move on. Can we keep him as a backup? No. And I think a lot of teams are going through that calculation. Like, he's either a starter or he's not in the league. And that's really harsh, but I almost think he fits in that category. Do you really want Cam Newton as your backup looking over the shoulder of a younger player, a less established player? And it's a tough situation for him. And even spinning to Kaepernick, it's a different situation, but I just think all the lip service, no one's going to sign Kaepernick. No one's signing Kaepernick. I mean, you think they're going to sign him now when they wouldn't sign him for 4 years? No.
And I don't know if he actually wants to sign on. You know what I mean? Like, if he got a reasonable offer, I don't know if he's really wanting to get back in the league. Just a guess.
Yeah, I mean, does he want to play for, you know, a typical third-string salary or a backup salary? I'm not so sure he could.
Yeah, I mean, there's another one about backup.
Yeah.
Because teams forget about money. I'm not sure teams want that attention
right
on a backup player. They'll take the attention if it's a star, you know, but they don't want the attention on a backup. And having managed a team, especially I've had the luck of managing franchise quarterbacks my whole career, you know, the backup quarterbacks are there for one reason, serve the starter. I mean, that's their role, serve the starter. And that's hard with a name like Newton or Kaepernick.
You know, and we've had this discussion on the show many times. I'm not anti-Kaepernick, and I don't want to come across that way, all right? I'm sure some people listening will probably feel that I am, but I'm not. I didn't necessarily agree with the way he went about everything with the kneeling, but that's a whole other discussion and debate. But you make good points about teams not wanting to sign Kaepernick because of the extra media attention, but – even if they weren't concerned with that, if he tried out, let's just say, for the Houston Texans, and Bill O'Brien just said, you know what, I really want to sign him, but he's not good enough, the narrative would be, and they cut him, the narrative would be, okay, well, they just gave him a shot because there was media pressure. They really didn't want him in the first place. And I'm not saying he couldn't earn a spot, but if he didn't, if he was, he hasn't played in 4 years, Andrew. And if he wasn't good enough, then he gets cut for a legitimate reason. But the media wouldn't allow it, us to believe that.
Totally, and I think that's the concern teams have expressed to me privately, where we think about signing him, but if we go through training camp and the third quarterback beats him out,
mm-hmm.
we'd have to deal with all that, and they don't want to deal with all that.
Right.
And the other part is, having managed a team, it's the development of younger players. I mean, that's so important to teams more than ever right now. And you sign a veteran, you push down a rookie, or you push down a young guy. And this happens at every position. I know in the Packers, you know, everyone would be like, you got to sign Terrell Owens, you got to sign this guy, this guy. And I'm like, yeah, but this guy we drafted 2 years ago that's ready to step up, we would just deflate him completely. So you got to think about that too.
Go ahead, Jason.
I'm sorry. Was there a player that you signed or thought about signing that had some controversy surrounding him, and you really wrestled with it before you did sign him or drafted him?
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously you know the Packers. We didn't sign a lot of free agents, but. You know, there was one offseason we went hard after two players because we were reworking our team a little bit. We signed one who turned out to be the best signing in my era, which was Charles Woodson, who just I had to convince every day I wake up and try to convince him to come to Green Bay because obviously he didn't want to. And the other one you know well, LeVar Arrington, where our coaches fell in love, everybody fell in love. He's an incredibly dynamic, charismatic guy. And at the end of the day, we offered more money, and he chose the Giants. And, of course, he tore his Achilles that year. But, you know, sometimes the best signings you make are the ones you don't.
Mm-hmm.
Talking to Andrew Brandt, former vice president with the Packers for a decade, NFL agent. Let's turn to the Redskins, just kind of get your perspective on what the Redskins are doing. Ron Rivera, of course, entering his first season as the head coach. Dwayne Haskins going to be the quarterback, at least for now. How do you see them? How do you perceive them from your eyes? Are they headed in the right direction?
Yeah, I mean, I think they went the safe route in coaching hiring, and I don't mean that to be a negative. You know, a lot of teams are looking for the next hot coach. That's sort of the trendy pick, the guy that's coming from college, whatever it may be. And the Redskins say, we're not doing that. You know, we're going the safe route. I think the Cowboys did the same thing with the guy I hired 13 years ago, Mike McCarthy. So that's one way to go, and I think it's safe, and I think it's fine. You know, we'll see where it goes. Full disclosure, I am kind of in the H business now. I'm advising Gary Vaynerchuk, Vayner Sports. And people know Gary V, big social presence. And guess what? We have two Redskin quarterbacks who are kind of my clients.
Right.
So we have Kyle Allen and Steven Montez. So I guess I can't be completely impartial there.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Before we let you go, I just want to get your take on the Jamal Adams stuff. Obviously, with all this other stuff going on, you kind of gets lost in the shuffle of contract disputes. But, you know, he doesn't want to be a Jet, or he certainly doesn't want to play under the current contract as a Jet. I know he's trying to work his way into a trade with the Cowboys, maybe a couple other teams. And he's a very, very good player. I'm just wondering, from your standpoint as an executive, do they want to keep him? And, I mean, I know it's dollars and cents, but if he's probably the best at his position in the league, certainly one of the top two or three, why not just pay the guy? He's still young. Or do you think they want to force his hand?
Well, I think two things. One, take out the pandemic and just look at pure business, and I've been there. You know, this is the scourge for players of the CBA and rookie contract system. He's got 2 years left, plus potential franchise tags. The Jets have all the leverage.
Yep.
And the CBA makes it even harder to hold out with increased penalties for that. So they have the leverage here. You can talk about how great a player he is, but they have the leverage because they have 2 years of contract control and then if it ever gets to a franchise tag. Now put the pandemic into this, and now you have uncertainty, which we could spend a whole nother segment on, about 2021 cap, let alone 2020 cap, because I think the NFL is going to go to the players and try to reduce, just like baseball. So we'll see. And my point is, no one's doing deals. Yeah. No one's doing deals. McCaffrey and the guy that got traded from San Francisco to Indianapolis, the Buckner, got a huge deal.
Yeah.
That's it. That's it. No one's doing contracts. And if I'm in my old job, I'm not doing contracts. There's no way right now. Mahomes, Prescott, no one's getting deals. And Adams is in that list.
And then you also wonder, if there is a season, is there going to be a spate of injuries? Like, are more guys going to be injured because there's less prep into the season? Sure, they may be doing voluntary workouts, but I would imagine training camp's going to be shortened. There are going to be less preseason games. More guys are going to
might
come
not be
in.
Any preseason
more
games.
More guys are going to come in out of shape. It's just the way it's going to be.
Well, you didn't even mention the virus. I mean, right. How are we going to treat that? And is there going to be a separate reserve list? Are we going to have a practice squad of 20 guys? I mean, we're not even talking about the possibility of wiping out a whole position group one game, and a team's playing with guys off the street at cornerback and safety. I mean, that could happen.
Sure.
Yeah.
So that's
I mean, look at how many guys tested positive at Clemson, Andrew. I mean, I think it's up to 37 players. And as you said, going back to Dr. Tom Mayer, the medical director of the NFLPA, you're talking about position groups where there are morbidly obese guys, guys with sleep apnea. I mean, it's a big danger zone. I think the difference between college, which I don't have confidence that it's going to come back, and the NFL is there's just so much money involved in the NFL, and I think that most of the parties involved want to get their piece.
Well, in my expertise, the business of football, take it beyond pro, that would be a fatal blow to college sports, not to football. But if there's no college football, we've got 20 something sports per college that don't make money. Mm-hmm. And that I really worry about. We've already seen UConn, a lot of schools are cutting programs already. Mm-hmm. And usually it's the men's programs, the non-revenue men's sports, because the hierarchy is football, basketball, women's sports, and then men's sports that don't make money. I really worry about that. For student athletes of those sports, that's what I worry about.
Oh, well, we should. I mean, just think about all of the scholarships that would just disappear. You know?
Disappear and...
What are those kids supposed to do?
Yeah. I mean, you know the South is going to go to hell or high water and play football with fans. Mm. So... we'll see if they are able to do that.
Well, I mean, yeah, if they're able to do it. I mean, in Texas, for example, they've now pulled back and, you know, they're shutting down bars and things like that. But if it continues to bubble up where you have ICUs completely full, I mean, we're not that far away from when college football would start.
I know. And then you have Fauci talking about baseball should wrap up by October because they're worried about a second surge. And I'm like,
we're getting it right now.
It's going like, oh, my God, there's just so many ways you have to thread the needle here.
I mean, I feel like we're getting the second surge now.
Well, I'm hearing that's a first surge.
Yeah, I don't know.
Like a first wave surge or whatever. So
yeah, it's depressing.
Well, look, Andrew, we really appreciate the time. Pleasure talking to you and catching up on
Saturday
morning.
Have a good weekend.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, guys. Always a pleasure.
Good stuff, yeah.
Andrew Brandt, you can check him out on MMQB. He writes columns for SI. He's had a really distinguished career from an agent.
He's a pretty dumb guy. He only went to Stanford undergrad and Georgetown Law School.
It's pretty good. And I guess he's doing something.
Is that the best he could do?
These days.
Is that the best he could do?
That's pretty good. pretty good.
Yep.
So you didn't watch Curb. That's a Curb deal.
No. Pretty good.
All right, yeah. I believe coming up next, I kind of encouraged it because he did this a few weeks ago, but our pal Peter from Burke prepped a game for us a few weeks ago. I think he maybe has prepped a couple.
All right.
Some of them have been duds, admittedly. One of them went on too long, too detailed, but I told him less is more. So we'll give it a shot. We'll play a little game show next with our pal Peter from Burke, Super P1 listener of the Junkies. Then at 10 o'clock, FP Santangelo on the Nationals and Major League Baseball's return. All right, one of our great listeners is Peter from Burke. I'm not saying he's a great caller, I'm saying a great listener. But he likes to call in with obscure Junkies trivia. And here's what we're going to do. We'll play a game. He will ask some questions of us. I'm not exactly sure what the game is, but we do need some callers. So if you're listening right now, call in right now to participate. 800-636-1067. You call in, have a little fun with J.P. Bish and Peter from Burke. 800-636-1067. Let's say hello to Peter. Peter, what's going on this Saturday morning?
Good morning, Jean-Paul. Good morning, Jason.
Hello, Peter from Burke.
Y'all are on prime time, obviously, during the weeks, but, you know, I think for Saturday, for the Saturday shift, afternoon is the prime time, so they get to pull the big game show guests like Adam Epstein. So you morning guys are just stuck with me. But,
is that what they've done? Is that what they've resorted to as guests?
They did a, you know, bet on or against Adam a couple weeks ago, I think.
Oh, that's right. That's
you
right.
You pretty much can always do bet against, and you're going to be okay.
Yeah, you're going to win.
So what game have you prepared here? Because we put you in a sweet spot, man. You had a good lead-in with Andrew Brandt, and you got FP Santangelo coming up. So there's a lot of pressure on you, Peter.
Yeah, well, I know. The last time I called in your FP, Cakes, his system cut out, and I end up co-hosting the show with you for a few minutes. But hopefully that won't happen to Jason. This is called the... This is called the Are You Okay game, and it's obviously inspired by Mr. Bickle, but it's actually a tribute to Matt Valdez. I don't know why Matt doesn't seem to like me too much, but he's asked Evie a couple times on air, are you okay? Because he will say or ask sort of, you know, his typical puzzling things. So
because right, he forgets just... things. Like he asked Jason, I'm telling you, I mentioned this just yesterday, he asked Jason how much he was spending on his vacation, and then a week later, he didn't remember that you had a discount.
Well, that's actually one of my questions, so we can go ahead and burn that one. But, yeah, the question. So the question is, where is Jason going? But, yeah, that was a classic that you had been off the show and actually remembered more than Evie, who had been in studio.
Right. All right, so we do have a contestant, 800-636-1067. Do you want to do the next one with us or with a caller, Peter?
Well, we can burn one question just to kind of get the sense of it.
Okay.
And this was, I think, from the very last segment yesterday, so recency effect. But at some point, JP, Evie asked you to repeat the question when you were playing a game. And instead of repeating the question, you actually asked Evie, what's the name of the game we're playing? And he was unable to answer. The
right,
question
yeah.
is, what game were you playing? And I have a hint if you need it.
Well, the answer is either we call it two different things. It's either straight up the birthday game or what's my age again?
Correct. So you're supposed to give a clue for Charlize Theron, but he didn't even know what game was being played.
You know what? I think I would have got that wrong. I think I would have said, who am I? I completely forgot that we played what's my age again.
All right, let's punch up.
I'm not okay.
You're not okay. Let's go to Kurt in Gaithersburg. Kurt, you're on with JP and Bish from the Junkies as we play Are You Okay?
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up?
All right, take it away, Peter. You are the game show host.
Okay, we've got a choice. This is one question per category, but would you like Intercom, P1s, or a repeat category, It's the Show?
Let's do P1s.
Okay, we're looking for P1 here, and we do have a phone-a-friend hint if you need it. So when this longtime caller was reminiscing about her classmates from 40 years ago at W.T. Woodson High School in Fairfax, E.B. somehow thought that she was a teacher there. So which longtime female P1 are we looking for? And your hint is missing leg.
And Ashburn. Here's another.
Virginia.
No.
There's actually two. So.
She's from Ashburn.
Yeah, it's her boyfriend missing a leg. I want to say Sherry, maybe.
Yeah, no, I think you're thinking of Todd from West Virginia, but yeah, Jason.
Yeah, yeah, it's Mary Ellen from Ashburn.
Mary Ellen from Mary Ashburn. Ellen. Thank you, Kurt, for playing.
Hey,
Are
thanks,
You
Kurt.
Okay? I like the title, Are You Okay? All right, next one just
really
for us.
To do the drop,
all right, next one for us, yeah.
Okay. So this is the It's the Show category, so MLB. So EV somehow thinks that at a typical Nats game, there are 1 to 2,000 people engaging in this activity that both Bob Carpenter and your boy Peter from Burke both enjoy. So what does he think a couple thousand people are doing at a Nats game?
1 to 2,000 people at each game.
If you think of...
Oh, I got it. They're scoring the game.
That is correct. Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah, and then in a legitimate scorebook.
Yeah, so you got
which I like to do, by the way. I don't usually do it at games, but I do when I was a kid. I would do it.
I find it hard to believe though that 1 to 2,000 people are doing it.
I don't know. Maybe old Codgers. If there's 1,000 old Codgers, they might be doing it.
Maybe a couple hundred. I feel like I ran into Charlie Casserly at a Nationals game once. Uh-huh. He's the type that would score a game.
Yeah, old Codgers. Right, exactly. Sorry,
don't
Charlie.
Call him an old codger.
I'm sorry. I'm calling Charlie an old codger, but older gentleman.
All right, we need to go to break. So, Peter, why don't you do the last one real quick, just for the junkies in the game? Are you okay?
Okay. For 70s TV, this late 70s trucking sitcom co-starred a chimpanzee.
BJ and the Bear.
BJ and the Bear. Come on, too Greg Evigan.
You didn't even need your Raji and Surhoff hint for that one.
No.
By the way, my wife and I, somewhat embarrassing, have started watching a reboot, Jason, of probably a show that you probably checked out when you were 12 or 13 years old.
Uh-huh.
Dynasty.
Oh, my God.
Did you ever watch Dynasty when you were a kid?
I mean, I'm sure I did, but I can't remember any of the characters. I know there was an old rich guy. I don't know what his name was.
The old rich guy was... he played Blake Carrington. He was the voice of Charlie's Angels. I don't know who the actor was. And then you had Linda Evans and Joan Collins. They were kind of the main hot older ladies. And then I don't know who were the it was younger cast. But we started watching kind of the reboot, and they changed everything. Oh, and Heather Locklear, I believe, played Sammy Joe in the original Dynasty.
John Forsythe, by the way, was the actor.
There you go. All right, Peter, man, thanks for the game.
All right, say tell FBS looking forward to those Nats Braves games coming up.
Yeah, we'll let them know that you're excited.
Oh yeah,
Peter, right. I like that one. Are you okay? And you know, the last time we played the game, here's the deal, Jason. I forget the name of the game. It was the week that you were out, so we were doing the show with Cakes. I was doing the show with Cakes. Cakes all of a sudden started having some technical problems, so it was just me and Peter.
It was just you and Peter.
A couple minutes.
Right, sounds like fun. What did you do to deserve that?
All right, coming up next, we will talk about Major League Baseball. Much to my surprise, the players and owners did actually come to a deal. We're going to have a 60-game season. We will get FP Santangelo, the voice of the Nationals. We'll get his perspective on all that next. JP and Bish hanging out this Saturday morning on The Fan.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.